Well, hey, I'm going to get you guys to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. We are starting a new series. We're starting a new series called By Faith. And we're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews. And now the book of Hebrews is in this incredibly rich, complex book. And the idea behind the book that you can see, and we're going to get into it, it's trying to answer these big questions like, who is Jesus? Why did Jesus' death change history? What does approaching God look like now? The author is doing so much in this book, and we're going to try to bring all of that out. And like what we do here at St. Andrews, if you're new here and this is your first time, this is what we do when it comes to preaching. We want to give you the Word of God, and we want to help you make sense of it in such a way so that you can say, the Bible matters for my life. It is the first thing that is our statement of faith. It's the first thing, especially in our denominational statement of faith, that we believe the Bible is the Word of God. And it is important. It is the foundation with which we understand not just God, but our faith and relationship to God. And that's exactly what the book of Hebrews is trying to do. Now, here's the thing. This is what's unique about this book. We don't know who the author is. We don't know who wrote it. It's very different. We believe that it was a man that wrote it because of one word, and it's actually a Greek word that just means I, and it just happens to be the male version of that in the Greek, and that's the only way we know. Like, well, we don't know, but we know he's a guy. That's about all we can figure out. So the author is unknown. Some people stipulated that it was Paul, but it's not really like Paul. There's some different things that are how the style of it. But here's what we know, and this is what's important. It does affirm and it teaches what is consistent with the other apostolic letters and the writing in the New Testament. But what matters, especially for us to understand why this book was written, is to understand the audience with which it was written to. So what is written here, we have extrapolated that it is written to either these new Jewish Christians or Gentiles that had at one point converted to Judaism, so they had practiced the Jewish faith, and now they're Christians. And this audience, so you got these new Christians, but now they're facing all of these cultural pressures, whether it's from the Roman Empire, whether it's from the other Jewish people in this area, they're feeling the pressure, and the church is starting to dwindle and to drift away. Now, where they are, we're not exactly sure. It could be Rome. It could be another big urban center. That's kind of the main idea there. But it makes sense that they're in this big city because in the big cities is where the Roman seat of power is felt most harshly. So we're not exactly sure who wrote it or anything like that. But the purpose of it is to encourage these weary believers. Have you ever been weary in your walk of faith? Yeah. That's kind of relevant for us. It's to show us that Jesus is greater. Now, in here, and we're gonna look at it, but it's telling us that Jesus is greater than any prophet. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than the royal priesthood. He's greater than sacrifices. He's greater than the old covenant. He's greater than everything. And everything these Jews had put as these super important parts of their faith. And the writer of Hebrews goes, no, Jesus is greater than them. But what's interesting about this book is that it's not like these other, right before it is the letter of Paul to Philemon. And then there's 1 and 2 Timothy before that. And Galatians, Ephesians, Romans. But this is written almost like a sermon. It's written like a sermon because it's not necessarily a letter, because at a letter, what do you do when you write a letter? You go, dear so-and-so, hey, it's me. It's like, it's like, hey there, hey, Delilah, or whatever that radio show is or whatever, dear Delilah or whatever. You're going to address a letter. You're going to say who it's from. Otherwise, it's just weird. If you're getting a letter from someone, you don't know who it's from. No, but this is like a sermon. It's like if I wrote a sermon and I sent it to another church and they're like, hey, Pastor Luke over at St. Andrews wants me to tell you all this. Well, what's interesting about that is even when they were sent letters, someone would read them aloud to the church. So this is written like a sermon for someone to give before this church. This church that we would not believe that it's very big. This church right here is probably much bigger than that gathering of Christians. But what we know is that they were struggling. They were struggling. They were trying to find, you know, they were like, do we just go back to our old ways? Have you ever been tempted to go back to your old ways? They're struggling. Should they go back to just go and do your Jewish thing again? Do all those practices. Worship the way that they worship. Do the sacrifices. Do all those things. Because we can't figure out how and why we should continue to follow Jesus when it doesn't look like Jesus is really doing much for us, because we have no power, we're feeling oppressed, and the church is just crumbling around us. And so someone writes this letter to them, or this sermon to them, to encourage them. I don't know where you are in your life, but I think we all need some encouragement, don't we? We all need some encouragement, and sometimes that encouragement is to see the truth about our faith, for us to go to Scripture and to see what Scripture reveals to us about God so that we can be strengthened in our faith and strengthened in our relationship to the Son and to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to look here at Hebrews 1, and before we do, let's pray real quick. Y'all pray with me. God, Open our hearts and open our minds to receive from you today. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as you were in the beginning, are now, and forever shall be. Amen. Hebrews 1:1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. How many of you guys enjoy watching movie trailers before you see your movie? Anyone? Yeah, that's a split crowd right there. That's hard to determine. I actually do enjoy watching them. I love watching trailers. Actually, I remember when we first got the internet at our home. That's right. I lived in a house without internet at one point, y'all. And there was like a place on, like, remember when Yahoo was like a big deal or whatever, and you could watch these movie trailers for free? It was awesome. This was really before YouTube and anything. And I would just watch these trailers, and it was a lot of fun. I loved it. I even like watching trailers when I go to the movies. I love, you know, now it's like 45 minutes you gotta add in there. But man, it's fun. You get to see all that's coming out. See what's new. See what, and it's, you know, it's always exciting because you're never sure what's gonna come your way. But trailers aren't the actual movie, though, right? Like, you can have a really good trailer and then have a pretty disappointing movie, or you can have a really bad trailer and have a great movie. But the trailer just, what does it do? It just says, this movie's coming out to a theater near you on right around this date, and here's whether or not you should go to it. Here's the rating, whether you or your kids should go to it. And that's it. That's all it is. It just gives us a little tease, and that's it. That's kind of what the Old Testament prophets were. They were the trailer. The prophets were the trailer. They were given the tease of what God was doing, what God would do, but they were not the feature film. The Old Testament prophets were the ones that told us about the Messiah, but they themselves were not the Messiah. The trailer's not the feature film. The feature film's the feature film. And Jesus is the feature. It's the thing that they were waiting for this whole time. And so for these Jews, they would have listened and read the prophets. They would have affirmed. We even say that the prophets, that their writing is the word of God. It's part of the word of God. But the Bible reveals the trajectory, the whole arc of God's redemptive story. And so when he's talking on here, he goes, long ago, at many times, in many ways, God did speak to us through prophets. He did. That's affirmed. Right on. That happened. But not so now. Because now we have Jesus. And Jesus is greater than any prophet that ever came before. Because the prophets, though they were the mouthpiece of God, they themselves were not God. But Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We confirm that he's the Son of God. He is the, what it says, he is the final word of all things, and through all things are done through him. He is final. So the prophets, God spoke through them, but they did not complete everything. Jesus completed everything. Jesus is the final revelation of God. Jesus is the final communication of God to his people. And the word of God, everything else that was written about that, it's just to help us understand what Jesus said and what we should believe about Jesus. But Jesus was the final revelation of God. He revealed to us who God is. He revealed to us our relationship to God now. He revealed to us what true sacrifice is, what true love is. And then he said, it is through my own true sacrifice that you have the final say over sin. And it's through me, not through any other sacrifice. No other sacrifice will satisfy the sin in your life. That will forgive the sin in your life and satisfy the forgiveness, except through me. I'm it. And that's what the book of Hebrews starts off saying. You want to go back to the way things were. How many of y'all like it, how the way things were, right? We talk about that a lot. Man, we could just go back a few years ago, or we could go back 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or no offense, 50 years ago. It'll be better if we just go back to the way it was. And the book of Hebrews starts off strong, and he goes, why are you looking back when the Son of God showed you to look forward? Why are you looking back to the way it was when he's shown you the way it is? Why are you looking back to the things that couldn't satisfy righteousness, that couldn't make you holy? And instead, look towards the Son of God, who is the only one that can make you righteous, the only one that can make you holy. But it's almost like the book of Hebrews is kind of like saying, I get it though. You're struggling. And you're looking for something to tell you what to do, what to think, what to act, how to be. I think one of the things that we do, we're always looking for a guru, right? We're always looking for that person to tell us how to do things, what we should believe, how we should do those, you know, whatever. You know, there's this whole new category in the scholarship of religion, and now they're even looking at like finance people. As the way that people like follow these people on YouTube or their blogs, it is almost the same way people adhere to a religion and a faith. Because I want to be successful, you want to be successful? And if someone, you know, it's like, hey, here's the 10 steps to be successful. Follow these 10 steps, here you go. And we're like, yes. People, there's even these new spiritual gurus now, and it's easy to find them. Again, like everything, go to YouTube. That's where I look for almost tons of stuff. I need to fix my car, go to YouTube. Now people are like, I need to fix my life, go to YouTube. They're looking for their next guru. And kind of in this way, we receive the ultimate and final rabbi, who was Jesus Christ. The ultimate teacher, the ultimate guru, the ultimate one. And here these Christians are now trying to find a different voice to follow. They're confused. It's understandable. They're confused. They're not sure where to go. But we start off strong, and he's saying, man, those prophets that you followed before, they spoke for God, but they were not God. They spoke for God, and they were obedient to God, and you should listen to what they say, but they were just the preview to the full feature, and the full feature is Jesus Christ. And if you're looking for the answer for your troubles, it's still Jesus. Jesus was the answer at your salvation, and even in the midst of your hardship and brokenness and sin, Jesus continues and still is the answer. And if you're looking to the future and you're looking at what could be and what could possibly be, the things that scare you, the things that hurt you, the things that break you, all of those things, and you go, Jesus, what's the answer? Jesus is the answer. He's the final word. Remember what Jesus said, even before he went to the cross, even before he went into the grave, even before he resurrected, he said, I have already overcome the world. Follow me. See, all this is there available for us, and all we have to do is take it. And instead, we constantly trying to reinvent and find a new voice and find a new leader. But Jesus is the final word. There's no other word. We don't need anything else. Jesus is the final word. Now moving on, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. It's important to understand this and parse apart what exactly what it's saying here, because it says a lot about angels. We talked about prophets, now we're talking about angels. You know, in modern Christianity, we don't really talk about angels much. I'm just going to be real honest, right? We talk about the angel that came and talked to Mary, and then we skip over that, and then maybe we'll talk about the other angels in the Old Testament every now and then. We don't really consider them much. I haven't really heard much preaching on it. It's written about, but we don't really talk about it much. At this time, they would have definitely considered more about angels. Angels were important. Angels were the messengers of God. But what the writer is saying is, remember, he's trying to show these people that all of these individual groups of people or spiritual beings that they have placed in a level of importance, what he's trying to do is say Jesus is more important. So first we were talking about the prophets, and he says, no, Jesus is greater than the prophets. Now he's talking about the angels. And right there, he goes, when did God ever say this about an angel? That they're my son. That's right there. He starts it off strong. Again, I never said that. God never said that about any angel. Angels are important, right? They're the messengers of God. How many of y'all love to order off Amazon? Be honest, it's all of y'all. We all do it, and you probably have a package at home waiting for you. No, I'm not throwing shade. I probably do too. I love ordering off Amazon. Isn't Amazon great? It's easy. Get on there real quick. Find it 2 days sometimes, or as currently I have something lost in the mail, but that's okay. We're not going to talk about that. But I love it when they show up with the package. Well, here's the thing. I love when I see that UPS truck. I love when I see that FedEx truck, or I see that Amazon truck. Yeah, that's right. They even have their own delivery now. In case you didn't know. I love to see that. And so when the FedEx guy or the UPS guy comes up to the door and I have to sign my name and I'm happy and I got my package, it's great. But I don't go out there and hug the UPS driver, right? He's just delivering the package. It's kind of like that with angels. Angels were just the messengers delivering the message. They were not the ones who wrote the message or came up with the message. When the angel went to Mary, who sent the angel to Mary? The angel didn't go of its own volition, right? God sent the angel. And what he's saying here is he was like, hold on, it's the Son of God that is greater than the angels, because the Son of God is God. There's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit. No part of the Trinitarian Godhead is subject to an angel. The God three in one is over all angels. So he's saying, you may have put them as important, but what we're saying is that Jesus is not just another messenger. There's a lot of people who, I heard this recently, someone was like, man, I love Jesus, but I can't stand Christianity, right? Like, Jesus is great. I would say they love Jesus, but they really probably hated his message. I would say they probably really don't even know what Jesus said. But Jesus himself, Jesus is not just another messenger. Jesus is a savior. Yes, Jesus gave us things. Jesus brought things to us. But we have to understand that Jesus himself was the gift. Jesus was the one who sinned and the gift to be received. It's him. The angels were just a messenger but sent by God. That's all they were. Not to downgrade them, not to say they weren't important, not to say that God doesn't use them 100%. He does. I believe that he does. However, Jesus is greater. And these people that they're writing, that this author is writing to and really probably preaching at, is he was like, who do you make more important than Jesus Christ in your life? Who's more important? First, he's kind of attacking them but directing a message toward them that, yeah, you've put some people more important than Jesus speaking into your life. And now I'm trying to tell you, even in the spiritual world, there's no one greater than Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the one that sits upon the throne. Jesus Christ is the one that is King of Kings and Lord of Lords of the kingdom of God. He's the ultimate one. He's the ultimate one. Yes, he's the ultimate teacher, but he's our only Savior. Yeah, the prophets taught, but Jesus delivered. Yeah, there may be messengers, there may be angelic beings, and yeah, that's great, and miracles and whatever, but Jesus is greater than them. Jesus sits above it all. You know, have you ever been disappointed by like a human leader, like a boss or a manager? Or a pastor. I'm sure I've disappointed y'all a few times. I think one of the things that is so troubling and that is difficult for us is we want leaders that are strong. We want leaders that, even godly leaders, we want godly leaders to lead us. But what do we know about every leader, every human leader? We all fail. Some of you, you're leaders in your own home. You failed your home. Some of you are leaders in business and leaders maybe in your job, and you have failed in your job at some point, because we're broken, sinful people saved by grace. And yes, we should be subjected to the process of sanctification and healing that is only done through the power of the Holy Spirit. But even in that, we fail. And it's almost like the writer of Hebrews was talking to a group of people that was looking for anyone but Jesus to follow and to hang their hat on, to find security and peace in. If it's not the Old Testament prophets, maybe it's the angels. Maybe if we just, you know, follow Moses in the sacrificial offerings, maybe that will bring us peace and wholeness. And really what it was is they were really just wanting to be accepted by the people that were around them. How many of y'all have ever wanted to be accepted by the people around you? I have. And if you say you've never felt that, I don't believe you. You're a liar. We've all experienced that. We've all wanted that. We've all wanted to be appreciated. We've all wanted to be, you know, thought of as good and strong. And I'm sure these Jewish Christians, it's one of those things, it's like they had been saved, but then they kind of lost their way as things got hard. I've never encountered a moment that was a significant moment with someone's spiritual growth, and that includes my own, that did not happen in the midst of an extremely difficult season. Who grows when it's easy? Exactly, no one. None of us do. We don't grow when it's easy. You might learn something, sure, you might glean something. Who grows when it's easy? It's when things are difficult, when things are unsure, that's the true test of faith. It's when the voice of God suddenly starts to get clouded by the voices of this world, but then you keep choosing him over and over and over, and like, God, I don't know if that's really you. I'm trying to turn the spiritual dial, but it keeps getting lost and off track, and I'm not really sure if this is what you want me to do or if that's what you want me to do. I'm not sure if this is what you expect, but I'm going to keep trusting in you. I'm going to keep believing in you. I'm not really sure if this is what you're calling me to, but it's in those seasons right there that we experience the most growth, because that's where our true test of faith. And the book of Hebrews is written to this group of people where the writer is like, you're looking for anyone and anything to give you peace except Jesus Christ himself. And that is where we find our true sense of peace. It's in him. Why do we find that true sense of peace? Because we trust that he's on the throne and he is greater than all other beings. He's greater than any other spiritual being. He's greater and beyond the powers of this world. And it really doesn't matter what this world does to us because he's on his throne. And you are definitely going to walk through some trials, and you're definitely going to be disappointed by some leadership. You're definitely going to be disappointed by leadership in this church and in other churches and in this country and at this work and in your home. You're going to be disappointed, but you're going to go through hardships, but it's when you choose to trust in Christ, that is where the true peace comes in. That's where the true power comes in. When you say, God, I can't hear you clearly, but I know you're speaking because you've spoken before. And that's exactly what the guy that wrote this is trying to say. He's like, yo, remember the one that saved you and forgave you. Remember the one that said, hey, you don't have to sacrifice and do that anymore. I sacrifice for you. That guy, the Son of God, ring a bell, that's the guy you should be trusting in. And instead, we're falling away. And I don't think he's not beating them over the head. He's going, no, don't leave. Don't leave just because it's hard. Stay because it's hard. Because it's in the heart, that's where Christ is truly known. That's where you really get a sense of how good God's love and grace is. It's in the heart. And why can we do all of this? The theology that we're trying to get here is Jesus sits on the throne and he reigns over all. And how long does he reign? Well, let's look at Hebrews 1:10. It says, and you, O Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up like a garment. They will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will have no end. And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? He's making this analogy of how certain things never last, right? Like styles, they don't last. Certain clothes, they don't last. Some of y'all are in bell bottoms. They came back, didn't they? Styles don't last. Physical things don't last. You can spend a lot of money on something, but it's not going to last forever. Doesn't last forever. These shoes, they're not going to last forever. These clothes aren't going to last forever. Lord knows, I'm seeing it now. My hair won't last forever. Things don't last. The only thing that is eternal is Jesus Christ. It says, he's quoting Psalms 102 when he says, you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth. So he's not just talking about Jesus' reign from this point on into eternity. He's also making a point that Jesus was God even all the way back at the beginning. You, O Lord, laid the foundation. John's gospel said at the very beginning was, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Saying that Jesus has always been eternal. Jesus didn't just become eternal. Jesus has always been eternal. The Son of God has always been eternal. And now the Son of God sits on the throne, the Son of God sits on the throne because of what he did. Jesus sits on the throne and is the king of the kingdom of God. He's the Lord of lords of the kingdom of God because of what he came and did. He didn't hold on to it. The book of Philippians didn't hold on to glory. He gave that up for us to take on flesh and to live and to teach and then to sacrifice that body so that he could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And then his work wasn't done. He went to the cross and then he went to the grave. And he didn't stay in the grave. He rose again so that death, which is the ultimate punishment for our sins, could be forgiven. And then he ascended to the right hand of God. That is why. Not only do we trust in him because he's a good God, we trust in him because he's a powerful, eternal God. Everything else will fade away. I told this story to someone. I feel like it was this week. Y'all remember when people did specials in the church? You know, in between offering? We're not bringing it back. Like, this isn't an announcement. That's not what I'm doing. That's how it's happening here. Just want to know if y'all remember them. We remember we had this guy at the church I grew up in Alabama. He was this old gentleman. And he would sing a special. And he'd probably sing a special, I'm going to say, once a month. It felt like for a while it was every other week. But he only sang one song. And that song was on a cassette tape. You remember cassette tapes? They were right before CDs. You had cassette tapes. And this tape was so old and warped, this song would modulate in keys. It was like, It was old and worn out, but he sang it every single time. And it was this song, "The Anchor Holds." The Anchor Holds. I'm not about to sing it, so... But the truth about that song is exactly what the writer of Hebrews is starting off here. He goes, Jesus is the only anchor that is truly holding in your life. Nothing else is a solid anchor. Jesus is the only anchor. You can't hold on to anything else. And here's the thing about Jesus. It's not about holding on to Jesus. It's about Jesus holding on to you. He's been holding on to you this entire time. Even before you were saved, he was chasing you. He was building things and making a pathway for your redemption and reconciliation, which, by the way, is the act and the full story of God's from the moment of creation until one day into eternity when the Lord comes back. It is always about redemption and reconciliation, redeeming what we broke and reconciling us to the Father. And Jesus is the ultimate redemption and the ultimate reconciler. He is the anchor. Everything else is but shifting sand. Life is unsure. We have no way of predicting the future. The only thing we can hope for in the future is that Jesus' love will still be there and of his return one day. And hoping in his making right what we have broken. No other leader is going to be there for you the way Jesus is going to be there for you. And that's exactly what the book of Hebrews is about. A group of people like us, feeling lost and uncertain, not able to see God clearly, and then coming back to the fullness and the full relationship that is only offered through Jesus Christ. Let's stand across this place. Go ahead and call our prayer team to come down for me. As our prayer team is making their way down, I want you to just close your eyes and let's just enter into this moment prayerfully with hearts that are willing to listen. Jesus is the ultimate. Receive this today. Jesus is the ultimate. Jesus is the final word, so we can trust his voice. Jesus is the radiant king, so we can worship him in his seat of power. Jesus is the eternal Lord, so we can rest in his faithfulness. The call of Hebrews chapter 1 is to trust him, worship him, and rest in him. So in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come down to pray, but I want the Lord to speak to you. Where in your life, whether it's your life of faith, whether it's your home life, your relationships, your job, whether it's just your individual walk with the Lord, where do you need rest and trust to be built up and worship to be ever built up inside of you? What are you walking through right now that you're not trusting the Lord with? It's time to give it over to him. If you're in here and you haven't received salvation, it's time to trust in him and give your life to him and receive his perfect love and his perfect salvation. That is the only thing that will hold you constant throughout life. I'm going to pray right now, and then we're going to go into a time of worship and prayer. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the love that is continually poured out on us. And we thank you for the consistency and the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the one that sits on the throne, that is there for us to guide us, to encourage us, to correct us, to heal us. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would pour out on this place this morning as people would be called to draw near to you again. So come on, let's worship now. If you want prayer, I want you to come down to someone up here. We're going to pray for you. We're going to believe that God's going to move in your life. Why don't you close your eyes and just stretch your hands out to receive this blessing today. Go now in the peace of Christ, fixing your eyes not on passing voices, but on Jesus, the final word. Go in the hope of his kingdom, trusting not in human power, but in Jesus, the radiant King. Go in the strength of his presence, resting not in what fades, but in Jesus, the eternal Lord. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen and amen. Can we give God some praise in the house this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.